If you ever want to see my dirty, naughty, filthy content and be able to talk to me personally, I have a VIP OnlyFans page. It is OnlyFans.com/FitSid. That is actually how I make this podcast possible, is through, you know, making money on my OnlyFans and stuff. So if you want to go and support me, you can go to OnlyFans.com/FitSid, or you can go to my free OnlyFans, which is OnlyFans.com/XXXFitSid. I'm your host, Fit Sid, and welcome back to Dirty CEO, where we go balls deep into the reality of what people are really thinking. Now let's get into it. Dirty CEO. Hey everyone, it's your girl Fit Sid, and welcome back to Dirty CEO. I'm here with Matt, aka Matt Luscious, right?
Yeah, that's my Instagram.
Yeah, and then you go by like Creamy Gorilla, and then what else do you go by? Creamy Bros, and yeah. What else?
Creamy Gorilla is for Twitter, and then Matt Luscious is like my name, and then also my Instagram, and then Creamy Bros is me and Rowan.
So. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, first of all, I met you at XBiz Miami, and like we clicked. Now we're sharing an Airbnb, really getting to know each other. And it's kind of fun because you know how when you just meet someone and you instantly like have things to talk about? Matt and I definitely do, even though our lives are so different. Like, you're from Canada.
Yeah, we just have like a great long, we've been talking for like the last like a couple hours. We've been having great deep conversations. Yeah. We almost like could have kept the cameras on for that.
Yeah.
Probably would have been a good podcast, to be honest.
Honestly, yeah, we were talking about like really awesome things, but it's funny because like our lives in general are pretty like different. Like, you, what's your typical day like? And oh, by the way, just to mention you guys, he does porn as well.
Yeah.
But he's also like, as you can see, if you're watching the podcast, you can see he's very, very fit, has a lot of muscle, and definitely takes care of his health.
Yeah. Like, for me, like the adult stuff is like my main source of income. And then, but I really have a passion for fitness. So like pretty much my whole life revolves around eating and then training. Cause like, that's what I like to do in my free time. Like, I get up, have my coffee. I don't eat in the morning because I eat pretty late and I really need to eat in the morning. And then I'll go train for like 1 to 3 hours, depending on the amount of time I have, cardio and working out. And then I'll come home and do like any content that I need to make, which might take an hour, 2 hours if I need to make any that day, any custom videos or anything. And then I'll edit videos, and then I'm pretty taxed to do anything else. I go for like walks and stuff. But yeah, my life for when I'm not like traveling or working, I like to just work out, and that's my favorite thing to do, to be honest.
And you kind of live like not in the city either, so you really are around like nature and just like more simple daily life. Like, you don't live in an apartment where you have to like fight to get on the subway or anything, because some people I talk to, their lives are so different than mine, because like I'm like in the suburbs, you guys, and like you are too. Other people that I know are like constantly having to like fight traffic, and like their lives are like a lot more fast paced. I feel like yours is more like what you genuinely want to do.
Yeah, it wasn't always like that. Like I never lived in the country, but once I moved out there, it was in the middle of winter. You know, we came from Ontario and then moved into the East Coast of Canada, and it was in the middle of winter. It was really cold and snowy. We didn't know anyone, and it was kind of depressing, to be honest, because I wasn't used to it. And then now I can really appreciate the peacefulness of just like, you know, being out in the country and just everyone just being really, it really chill, slow way of life.
Yeah.
And you can still enjoy the city, the perks of being near a city, but you're still away from it. So it's really calm. And it's just like really de-stressing for me to like walk around my neighborhood. That's what I really appreciate about living in the country now.
How long have you been in fitness? Like, how long have you been working out?
So both my parents are like, they own their own personal training studios. I've kind of been like around the fitness lifestyle for my whole life. My dad's a bodybuilder and stuff. So for me personally, I never really got into it myself until I was 14 when I tried like working out. Literally like right after I got into grade 9, first year of high school, I started to just experiment with working out at home, and I started to get a bit of muscle. I never had any attention from girls, and that was like my first attention from like any girls, and that gave me confidence. And then that's honestly why I started working out. So to be honest, that's literally why.
So you started working out to get attention from girls?
That's not why I started,
because I
noticed that. Because I like, my confidence was always good. I was always like good at talking to people when I was younger. Like, you know, I never felt like I was like a good looking guy. And then when I started to exercise, I just started to realize like, oh, this is giving me attention. Like, this is, And that's kind of what kept me to it. But then after a while, it's not about that at all. I mean, sure, you like that, but at this point,
it makes you feel good.
It makes me feel good. It's like, I need to do it. Like, I haven't worked out these last couple of days and it feels great to give my body a rest, but I can't wait till I can go back on Tuesday and go to the gym. It's just, you get a feeling like you never, ever get.
Yeah. It's a different type of feeling. And like, I feel like with the industry we're in, like, looks matter to a point, you know, and like the, with where you're at and the type of content that you make, which I'll have you explain more in depth, but the fans that you have appreciate your body.
That's why I really like it too, because I do work hard for it, and I mean, might as well have people appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, and also, you guys, he ended up winning one of the XBiz awards, and so it was really funny because after I met them, I knew that there was something special about them. Talking about Matt and Rowan, because I met them together as like a duo for Creamy Bros. And then they ended up going up on stage and winning an award. How did you even get into porn?
Yeah. So Rowan, the guy that we're talking about, he's my best friend. We met when we were 16 or 17. I can't remember. Yeah. I think we were like 16. Mm-hmm. And we were just at like, I just went to a house party in my hometown and he just happened to be there. And then the cops came to the house party. He was like, dude, we got to leave. Like, come in my car. I was like, okay. And then I got in his car and then we just kind of talked a bit. And he was from the city that's about like 20 minutes outside of mine. So it was kind of random that he was there. And it was just kind of a random coincidence that we met that night. So such a random coincidence. If we never met that night, then we wouldn't have been friends and we wouldn't have gotten into the industry.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, after we met that one time, we kind of didn't really like talk that much. We had each other on Snapchat, but we didn't really talk too much. And then a couple years later, we linked up to go to a music festival when we were like 18. And he had a girlfriend that he was doing Chatterbait live streams with, couple shows.
How long had they been in it?
Like, were
they
9 months.
So they had done it for a while.
They,
okay.
they actually went, the reason what got them doing it was because they moved out together and they ended up pretty much going viral one day and they kept on doing it. But then he said, you know, like, we do the couple shows, but do you want to try doing a show with us? Mm-hmm. And you know, we just need another female to do it as well. So then we'll do, it'll be two guys, two girls, a four-way show.
So did he just message you and ask you that?
He said it in person. He's like,
the festival.
Yeah, yeah. When we were at the festival, they just threw it out there. And I was like, that's it. You know, I'm working at a restaurant and as a trainer at a YMCA and then doing a bit of personal training on the side. That's what I used to do. I was like, that sounds like, I mean, I'm open to trying it.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward a couple weeks later, there's a girl that they met at a festival and she came down from a city like a couple of hours away and she was kind of like on the edge about trying it out, but then she ended up doing it. And then we did a stream on Chatterbait and it went well for me. I was nervous, but it was fun. And then that's pretty much what kicked it off. So we started doing those. Yeah.
That's so crazy. And it's crazy how it starts at, like, you know, when you meet someone, like how you meet them, just like how I met you guys. Like, obviously you go to things and events, like, you didn't think going to a house party you're going to make a new friend, you know?
No.
And then I think it's gutsy that they asked you that.
Yeah, like, they kind of just, they didn't really straight up ask me. They're just like, yeah, like, if you ever want to try, you know, like, you can do it. I'm like, oh, like, what do you mean? Like, it's like, you can do it with us. Like, just, you know, I was like, oh, that's, I didn't know you.
Do you remember how much money you made from that stream?
That was actually a really good stream. I think how many tokens did we, I think we each made like $800. US, I think.
Wow.
Each, like, which is like, which I was like, holy
shit. That's
insane.
That's awesome.
I was like, wow, like that. And I was really shocked. And, but it's interesting how that's the way it started. And now, like, Creamy Bros, we would have never expected that we would have had this, that brand and doing that instead. Like,
yeah. So explain how it went from that and evolved over.
Yeah. So, that's called Whip Creamy. That was his brand with them. They were doing that. And then, once I started doing it with them, it was just doing the four-way shows. But during COVID, there were some issues with like finding other talent to work with and stuff.
Yeah.
And then one day I was like, do you care if I do like a solo stream? Try it out, like just a solo guy. We'll do on the male side of Chatterbait. Try it out. Okay. Did it. It was a pretty good stream. It wasn't bad. Like, I made a good amount doing it. It's like, okay, that's
good.
What
would be a good night and a bad night?
If you're doing it with four people, then it's going to be split more ways. But then if it's one person,
what's a one person good
day? I mean, it also depends on how long you're on for. Like, so for four of us to be on, just to put it in perspective, if we did, we would do like a stream that would be 2 to 4 hours long. And then if we did, if we would have a goal for 25,000 tokens to go into the cum show. And then the cum show, you'd make extra tokens. So minimum 25,000 tokens, but usually around like 30,000, mm-hmm. which is what we'd aim for if it was four people. And then that's, well, each token's 5 cents US. Mm-hmm. So if you do the math, I can't really, I'm
you're
really
okay.
bad at math,
no, but doing off by heart right now. Perspective though.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Like, yeah. So if you're doing solo, like if you're on for like 1 to 3 hours and making like, I don't know, anywhere from 5 to 20,000 mm-hmm. tokens, it can be good. Just, it's really chill though. Also streaming mm-hmm. because if you're doing a solo stream, depending on what you're doing, for me, because I identify straight, like it's usually just jerking off and, mm-hmm. You know, showing my asshole and stuff like that.
That's so cool yeah. though. And so then, sorry, I interrupted you. I just was curious about the good and bad day, but how did it continue evolving? So you did that yeah. solo stream and then yeah. and was that on that Whipped Creamy account or was it on?
Yeah. So it was on the Whipped Creamy account. Uh-huh. It was Rowan's birthday mm-hmm. and he had a friend that he's always been talking to. Long story short, we're like, why don't we do a three guy stream? Like Rowan has never mm-hmm. done a stream with a guy focused stream before. And he knew that I did one. So me, him and his friend went on. It was really good. We yeah. actually made like just as much as we do like a four-way stream. Mm-hmm. We're on for way longer. Mm-hmm. We made just as much doing that. And we're like, oh, that's a good idea, you know. And then he's really good at like coming up with stuff on the spot. So he's like, the name's gonna be Creamy Bros. And then yeah. then from then on, we would just do streams, me and him. And then mm-hmm. it kind of evolved from like us just like sitting at a desk like talking and shit. That's pretty much what Creamy Bros streams usually consist of. Like it's just us just being ourselves, kind of, and just like chatting and chilling. But if mm-hmm. people want to see us do like sexual stuff, you know, like jerk off and you know, like jerk each other off, stuff along the lines of that, occasionally have another guy on and to do more sexual stuff with, mm-hmm. but it's pretty chill and just pretty like people we actually be really silly on it as well. Like we dance around and you can tip for sexy dancing, which isn't mm-hmm. really sexy, it's stupid dancing kind yeah. of, but we just be silly and have a good time. And that's pretty much what Creamy Bros is.
And how long has Creamy Bros been a thing?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So that's been since 2019.
Wow.
And that's the Chatterbait side. But then mm-hmm. this past year, we made creamybros.com, which mm-hmm. is our website. Yeah. So it's those two.
Wow. That is so cool. It's kind of interesting, too, because like I feel like people, when they get into porn, like, first of all, did you think you were going to stay in the... Did you even think it was porn?
You started? Honestly,
streaming is porn.
Yeah. I thought I was. Yeah, I did think it was porn, but I didn't know which way I would be going in, and I mm-hmm. would never expected me to do yeah. the male stuff, like yeah. the gay porn. I would never expect myself to do that. Like looking back, mm-hmm. I was much more like closed minded and stuff. I would totally be like, "Oh, I'm never doing that. I'm never mm-hmm. doing that." And then you start to get more and more open minded as you go along.
Yeah, and you also start to see like too, because this is the thing is like when you hear certain sentences and you're not experiencing it or anything, like it sounds like your perspective is different. But once you're in like streaming for you at the time, like you were in that streaming mentality, you were like, oh, it's easy to do the solo stream. And then the solo stream turns into you guys all hanging out. And then it turns into more and more and more, but it's not like an overnight thing that's extreme, you know, like an extreme change. And for me, like when I got in, I started with like not showing my eyes and stuff. And I was first a bikini barista. Well, first I did fitness and then I did bikini barista. So like the clothes came off a little bit more. And then I did Snapchat and showed off, you know, everything that was there, but like with my eyes not showing. And now I do like whatever type of porn I want to do. But I would have never expected to be like genuinely my whole life revolving around porn and like being like, oh, you know, is this top too showy? Like, because my brain just wears porn clothes all the time. But if you would have told me that when I first started, I would have been like, no, I'm just a bikini barista. I just serve coffee in a bikini. Like, that's all, you know? But
yeah, you never know what's gonna happen in your life. That's kind of like the fun part of life is like, you know, you don't know exactly mm-hmm. what you're going to be doing like 5 to 10 years from now. And
it's crazy that you were like a YMCA personal trainer.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that
YMCA
job too.
Isn't that like Youth Christian Men's Club or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, that's what it stands for. It's yeah. like it's just community center essentially. Like
no, I know it is, but it's funny the Christian part. Like you're over here a YMCA trainer gone wrong, you know?
I know. It was funny because like when I started to do this job, mm-hmm. I really liked the manager and they were mm-hmm. really nice to me at that job. So to quit it, I was like, yeah, I'm just going. I sent her an email at first just to give her a heads up. And then I told her in person, like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to be leaving you guys. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, oh yeah, I'm just going to be going to school for this and that. And then, like, I just didn't want to tell them that I was doing, you know, doing that. So
how did you tell your family?
So my mom's really chill, really open-minded. Like I literally tell my mom everything. Mm-hmm. She's like, she's open-minded as hell. So, I just like straight up like told her one day, like, oh yeah, that's what they're doing. And they asked like if I just told that my mom that that's like what my friend's doing. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, that's interesting. Like, oh, like tell me more about it. Like she was kind of just like wondering about it.
Yeah.
And then one day I told her like, he's like, give me an opportunity to try it out. And then mm-hmm. mom's like, well, you know, it's up to you. Like you have to make your own decisions. Like, mm-hmm. You know, make your own decisions. And then as I went on, my mom started to realize like, you know, if you're making good decisions and you have a good head on your shoulders, whatever you do in life, if you're not hurting anyone, it doesn't matter. My dad, I had lots of anxiety telling him about it because he's like more, when I told him, he's like, the first thing he says, what does your mom think about this? And then,
you don't have to tell me, but are your parents together?
No.
So then the discussion's different too, because you have to have totally separate conversations.
My mom, it was not really stressful at all. Mm-hmm. But my dad, like, it was a bit stressful. And like my dad, they kind of just at first they were just like, yeah, just, you know, just if you need to do it at first, just to make some money so you can do something else later, just do it. But this is a career for me now. Mm-hmm. So it's totally different.
And how often does it come up? Does it ever come up?
Oh, well, at this point, like my mom will just ask how things are going. And then they pretty much those ask, like, what have you been up to? How
and
are
you
things
never get
going?
Detailed.
I won't give details about like what I'm actually doing, but I'll tell them rough details. And my dad is like, it's a big difference. It's a big shift from what he was.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting things with my parents too. Like my mom texted me like a couple minutes ago and was like, I hope you're having fun in Miami. But like, she doesn't really know like everything we're filming and like the fact that I'm helping you guys film your gay porn. And like, I'm literally over here like, wow, that was such a good shot. Like with my mom, she's like, I hope you're having fun. And I'm like, yeah, mom, I'm having fun. Like, you know, and it's not like they need to know the details. But at the same time, I do know that like people in my family, their friends bring up my job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know about your family, if that's a problem, but I have this issue where like people just constantly feel the need to be like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what Sydney's doing? Do you know what your daughter's doing? And I'm like, why do they feel the need to say that when like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I'm lucky because like, I don't know if anyone that's talks to my mom or my dad knows, because my mom or my dad probably would have said something to me. There's a chance that people in my family, like extended family, have seen it online and then they just don't say anything because I don't know. I just remember I visited my family that lives in Ontario. I went and visited them this past summer, and there's like a part of my, like, I'm not going to say like what part of the family they were, but they were just like really, they treated me different than the recent time that I saw them. They just seemed like, oh yeah, hey, what's up? And then they didn't really say much to me. Yeah. Like they didn't want to engage in conversation versus like the first time. So maybe they know, they found out, because they do have there's other people that do follow me on like my personal Instagram, or maybe they found out my Matt Luscious one. Mm-hmm. So, I think that as long as they don't say anything to my mom, it doesn't matter. But to be honest, I don't really give a shit at all. It's my career. Like I actually genuinely don't care. Yeah, yeah, I don't care. Honestly, I actually genuinely care more if how my mom feels about it, or like my closest family, like if my grandparents don't know.
The people who are there every day for you, you know, those are the people that, for me, it would break my heart if like they didn't support me, but they do, thankfully, so I don't have to worry about that. But how do you, so obviously your typical days are like, you know, you explained that. Is that part of why you love doing what you do? So you can go to the gym, you can do what you need to do. And then on top of that, like traveling for work is kind of fun too, isn't it?
Oh, to be honest, yeah. Like I'm really grateful for my career. Like even though I am straight and doing gay porn, that's a whole
conversation. Which I want to get into that too.
It's really interesting, like to hear the perspective. But it does allow me to do what I really love, which is like I like have being able to like go to the gym as long as I want and just have the freedom to just like really focus on the things that I do love. And then it also ties into my career because I need to be. To have a good physique, all the guys who, you know, support me, they like me because of my physique.
Yeah. So what are you known for? The things that sell the most for you?
For me, like most of the stuff, any type of content that's with like other guys does really well. But like for custom videos, it's a lot of like just they like to see me as like more of a dom, but not the, the conventional like BDSM way, just like be dominant, like flexing, muscle worship, yeah. that sort of thing. That's like probably the most common custom video request. Mm-hmm. But people just like seeing me do whatever. Like pretty much any content sells pretty good.
If you're interested in supporting me and seeing more of my naughty, raunchy content, you can actually go straight to my OnlyFans. I have two of them. I have a free OnlyFans, which is onlyfans.com/xxxfitsid, F-I-T-S-I-D. So xxxfitsid. Or you can go to my VIP OnlyFans, and that is $35 a month, but everything is unlocked. And that link is onlyfans.com/fitsid. So it's literally just my name. But if you're interested in supporting me, seeing my wild side and my sexplorations, then you can go there. I also have a website, fitsid.com, which has links to all of my socials. And yeah, I just appreciate you listening. But if you want to see more of my stuff that I talk about on here, you can go over to my OnlyFans.
What's the weirdest request you've gotten?
Oh, that's a good question. So the weirdest request I think that I've gotten, when we were doing a cream bread stream, we got an email saying, there's this thing called a dermoid cyst.
Yeah.
And
tell me about this. This is so nasty. Yeah, guys.
I think Rowan might have told you about it. But he wanted to send the dermoid cyst to us.
He told my mom this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Rowan literally went and told my mother this at a coffee shop.
Yeah, So he wanted to send it to us and then for like us to bust on it and then send it back to him. And then he's going to take a video of him eating it or something like that.
You guys didn't do that.
Though. No, we didn't do that. That was probably that was probably like the most like, whoa, there's a lot of gross ones, like anything to do with like, you know, like shit.
I knew that was going to come up.
It's pretty like I've gotten.
Would you ever do shit? Those.
No, just honestly, the only reason is because I find it really gross. Like peeing, I would like people ask for pee, but like I've done a couple ones where it's just like me peeing in the toilet or stuff. But then I've heard that OnlyFans might not allow it. Yeah, I say no to it now.
I've honestly contemplated doing a shit video because I get so many requests and I'm like,
oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm like, do I really want to put that on the internet or not? But it's a very interesting thing because once you get asked that after 4 years of being constantly asked that, and like I get asked that probably like once a day on some platform, I wonder, will I ever do that? You know, eventually, because now sometimes I'm like, do I feel like that today? Like sometimes I actually question it, but I always wonder what other people, because that to me is probably like a weird request. But the dermoid cyst thing I think is so wild.
Yeah, that one stuck to us. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll actually say another one that I kind of just went blank, but a really common a lot of people have asked for, like that I've done tons of custom videos for, is there's a thing called a giant fetish, and it's like
giant test.
Have you heard of it? Like, you've gotten requests for it too, but like, it's kind of like tied into the muscle worship thing, but they pretty much, it'll be a video of like the cameras down on the ground and then they're, and then I'll like pretend to pick them up. Oh yeah, you're so small down there. And then I'll role play with like a berry, like a little, or like anything small that's little, and I could rub them along my body and then I'll use the camera as a feel. I'll make a whole good custom video like
that's
for people.
Awesome.
A lot of people have ordered those and it's like, I was like, what the like some custom videos are really odd, but I do them and they're not like bad in any way. They're not offensive, but so
that's that was cool. I didn't even think about a berry. You know what I use? Little army guys.
Yeah, that's better. It makes more sense. I just use that because I can actually eat it. They want me to eat them.
That's better.
Yeah.
When you said that, I was like, that's actually a really good idea. Like that's pretty smart.
Yeah. Cause they always, for some reason they say, at the end, you're gonna put me in your mouth and then swallow me and then you're gonna say, oh, now because now I'm trapped in your alpha belly. Like it's really odd, but
it's cool though. I think fetishes are really interesting to explore because it's someone out there is literally paying you for that content, which means they really, really love it.
Exactly. Yeah. And on OnlyFans, because I chat with everyone on there, anyone who's wants to have a genuine conversation, like people who order the customs like that, I say like, just out of curiosity, like how did that develop? And we talk about it because I'm curious. Like I'm not judgmental at all, obviously. And I'm just really curious, like, because it's interesting to me as well.
Yeah.
And I get to actually understand the psychology behind their fetishes, which is cool too.
So you being straight and being in gay porn, how does that affect you?
Yeah. So it's like,
and how did you like feel the first time you did that?
It's a slow transition, like with a lot of baby steps along the way. But it kind of started with like when on Korean Bros just jerking off next to each other, and like people really wanted to see us get our dick sucked by a guy. They really wanted to see that. So we're like, hey, we're going to make a big show, a big chatterbait stream to do it for the first time. And like, obviously we didn't get hard or anything, but it was like really, I was really shaking and stuff. Like it was pretty like, a big step. But that we did that stream. It was a really great, like that was one of the best streams we ever did. And then, so getting your dick sucked by a guy. And then that turned into like, okay, we'll do a show for like us going to make out, like kiss, we'll just kiss each other, me and Ro, and then for us to make out. And then that was like really awkward. That was actually the most awkward thing that we
had. How'd you feel after that? Because it's your best friend.
That's why. People don't understand. Like the audience, they're like, come on. Like they just want to see us do it. But like for us, it's like, we couldn't stop laughing. It is so awkward. And then now it's really easy for us to do it for a video.
Well, now, once you get like, into it knowing like, okay, like we're streaming right now, this is stream time, not like normal life, it's work, you have like a different mentality. Like there's so many things that like at this Airbnb that we've all been doing this whole time, and like when you're on camera, you know, like this is like me doing my career, you know, so it becomes normal. I know the first time I started filming shit, I felt so weird like saying certain things, but then I was like, Sydney, like you're fucking horny and your brain goes blank. This is the shit you say. You dirty talk this shit to yourself. So like the kissing thing, it's like, it's, you know, to them just a kiss, but to you, like you have to understand it's work.
Yeah. And it was work, but it was also like really awkward for us to do the first time. But then, so it was that.
But
and then,
now it's work. You know, you're like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we have more and more guys like on to suck us off and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was like the main thing. Cause we didn't do actually dick sucking for a long time.
How long do you think it took to get to that point?
When the first for that was also a chatterbait stream. And then that that took, that was probably.
Please tell me you made a lot of money on that one.
That one was actually more than the one we got our dick sucked. It was like the show was really good. Mm-hmm. And then someone actually paid us to do it. There was the porn star named Marcus Cage to do a stream with us at Rowan's old house. Mm-hmm. And then, someone in the room, our big tipper that we actually have a good relationship with, he was like, I'll pay you like so-and-so amount to do it. And we're like, is it worth it? Yeah, let's do it. Fuck it. And we just did it. And it was interesting. And then now, for me, sucking another guy, like I don't get off on it at all, but like if they like it, like great.
Yeah.
You know?
And so how does that work in your brain? Like, because obviously you have to stay hard. And I know that like, obviously when you won your XBiz award, you guys said shout out to Trimex, Cialis and Viagra.
Yeah.
So obviously you have to take things sometimes to shoot. Do you sometimes not need to?
Yeah. So it honestly, like for me, it'll be like it's all in the head. Like it really comes down to like in your head. The Cialis, like that stuff when you take it, like if you're horny, it'll just keep your dick hard. Like it'll just make it hard the whole time, and it'll just be extra hard. If you don't have it, like if you're horny, you still will. But if you're doing something where you're totally not aroused, it's just a matter of like going into a place you're in your head where you're thinking about stuff that's going to get you aroused. And there's lots of times where I didn't use it. But then if you're in like a bad mental state, like where you're like stressed out or anything's not in line, stressed about this or this and that, like, you're not getting horny. So then that's when like, you got to use the extra tricks. But if I'm ever working with like with a girl that I like a lot, like it's not, I don't need anything, obviously. Right. And then with the guy, I don't need to.
Girls originally. Yeah. And then you guys ended up with, do you make way more money doing the guy stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. So like, what's interesting is like, the people will still buy stuff with girls. But it's obviously like the main audience is, they like to see me in general, but it's mainly guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing with like Rowan, when we were shooting our content, like sometimes I would take like a POV from my angle without me in it, because I can see why people pay for porn from guys. You know what I mean? Like not even just gay porn, but like the solo stuff, because like I know like guys are hot when they're jacking off, you know? And like, so when I was filming it, I was thinking to myself, I was like, wow, like, this is like a really good angle. This looks really good right now. And I told you earlier, I was like, I hope you oil yourself up every once in a while. Because I think about those things. I'm like, that would look so hot. Like, I understand why people, like, people think that just women can thrive in porn, but you have to just have gay fans for you. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You don't really have a lot of female fans.
No. Yeah. I don't, like, I don't know any that, I don't know any. I don't think there's, there's probably, like, maybe, like, out of all of them, there's probably a few, but it's mostly guys. Yeah.
So when it comes to dating, because you do gay porn, I know you're not that in, like, you're not even looking for anyone, like, but have you had an experience while you've been in the industry, like, trying to talk to a normal girl and then telling her what you do?
So for me, like, most of the girls that I've talked to, they're, like, they're mostly they're really open-minded, and, like, we'll talk about stuff, and then they don't really judge me for it. I've talked to other girls who I'm, like, more on the friend side of things with, that I could talk on that level with. And I've asked them, like, you know, because, like, I think about that stuff in the future. Like, how am I going to find a partner for if I want to have a kid? And, like, they're going to see they're going to actually think about, you know, this guy that I'm going to have a kid with. What has he done in his past? Like, if he's done gay porn, they're going to look it up and see, do I want my the father of my son to, you know, have that history? But it I really think it does come down to the person, and how you are with that person, you know, how you come off to them, and how they see you. And then there's, like, a big majority will, it might change, like, for an average person, if, like, an average girl, if I talk to them, depending on who they are and, like, their interaction with me, they'll probably judge at first, and so it might be different. But for me, I haven't actually, any girl who I've talked to, it wasn't an issue at all.
But I also feel like, too, like, if someone does judge, it's not the right person, because you're so open-minded and, like, progressive at this point that you wouldn't probably want to have a kid with someone who doesn't see that there's way more than just that for you, you know? And that's something for me, like, whenever I'm talking to someone, if they at all make me feel uncomfortable or however I feel, and it's not a good feeling, I'm like, this isn't the right person for me, because, like, I'm so open-minded, but I also, like, want someone that respects me and doesn't, like, make me feel like I'm just this one part of who I am. Like, there's so much more to me. And so, yeah, it's interesting, though, because, like, I feel like you have a different situation than, like, a lot of people I know. Because, first of all, I don't have that many friends that I can talk to about, like, doing gay porn, because, like, most of my friends aren't even in porn in general. And then the ones that I do have are girls usually. So, like, I don't even, you know, lesbian porn is considered, like, hot when guys are talking to you. Like, most guys, in my opinion, are like, yeah, you can fuck your friends. Like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Versus, like, you know, you flip it, and girls are a lot more insecure too. Girls are always, in my opinion, like, I always hear on the internet, oh, my last boyfriend was gay, all this stuff. And it's like, was he really? Or are you just saying that because you're being judgmental of, like, the fact that he didn't want to fuck you?
Yeah, like, I always, like, there's, because, you know, Rowan talks to a lot of more girls than me, because he's, like, really, he's social
bubbly.
And stuff. Yeah, bubbly. You guys will learn about that when he comes on the podcast. But he'll have a lot of experiences, and he notices, like, you know, girls, how he girls will find out that he does that, and then he'll notice, like, oh yeah, some girls won't even, just because of that, they would be like, oh, everything's so perfect, but just because of that, you know, I'm not gonna. But for me, that's that, like, just that aspect of them, to me, for some reason, like, I understand it's very taboo and it's different for the average person to see, but for me, that's automatically, like, I don't want someone who's gonna, you know, I understand why, but I just want someone who's open-minded and just likes me for, like, you know.
Well, it's a deeper connection then, because if they can see past that and just keep getting to know you, then, like, they clearly see something in you that they want to keep getting to know. If there's that block, I always say this to my friends when they're dating someone and the guy, like, rejects them. I'm like, they did you a favor, because if they stop being interested, like, a week in over something silly, they would have lost interest when they really deep down get to know you and, like, the flaws, because everyone puts their best foot forward in the beginning, and, like, you're perfect for the first, like, 3 months, right? And then you start being like, oh yeah, here's my problems, here's my issues. So if they can't look past the little things and, like, the daily life stuff, then, like, they're not someone that would work out anyway. That's what I tell my friends whenever they're, like, crying over a dude, because I'm like, it's true. Like, it's not going to work out if they can't look look at that and be like, yeah, that's their job. I want a man that like doesn't sexualize my job, you know, like he can have a adult conversation about it. Because I feel like for me, it's fine if they think it's hot, but it's different. I want someone that'll like treat it like it's a job. Like when I'm done working, like not ask me like, ooh, who'd you fuck today? Like I want to hear them say, how is work, baby? Like, or you know what I mean? You know, like there's like that different respect level.
Yeah.
What do you look for though when you're looking to date?
So I've actually, the last time I actually went on an actual mm-hmm. date with a girl was in the summertime, like this past summer. Like,
yeah.
Or sorry, it's the summertime right now. Last summer of last mm-hmm. year. That's like the last time I went on an actual like date with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person was like, I like that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably why we went on a date. But I like someone who's just really open-minded, who mm-hmm. I can just have genuine conversations mm-hmm. with, like, you know, just genuinely talk to them with. I like someone who's really into, just cares about their health, fitness, and then their mental health, like everything do with health. I really value that. Do you think
the person has to go to the gym every day?
No, they don't have to go every day. They don't even have to be like into the gym totally. Mm-hmm. I just want them to be like into just being, you know, just taking care
mindful
uh-huh. of their health, like just being just kind of into that sort of just fitness and health mm-hmm. in some aspect, just caring about their body and just having respect for themselves in that way. That's all.
Yeah, no. I was just asking because, you know, some people say that and like they mean like go to the gym every day.
No, that's what I really like. I really like that.
Don't be sorry. I think it's cool because like one thing that, you know, you could bond over with someone because you are really into fitness. Like we were talking about that the other night. If he wasn't in this career, because it takes a lot out of you every day to work out, do this. But otherwise, you'd be a personal trainer again.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. And I genuinely, like, I loved it so much. And I'm going to do it again at some point. I'm going to be working in a gym at some point, like, again. Because I just love being in the gym and just watching people exercise when I'm not there. I'm watching videos related to it. Mm-hmm. I just love the feeling that it gives me. And then how you can always see progression. You can always better. You can always better some part of it. Change. You can. There's always something new to strive for, to become better mm-hmm. at. So that's like the best thing ever for me that I like about it.
Do you think that like your fans would ever pay you for coaching?
So I've actually tried to do that, and because like all of them are just they you know, they jerk off to me.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that hit me up. There are people, like on Instagram.
Yeah.
And then there's people on OnlyFans that do, but it's like mm-hmm. a very small percentage of them, which is understandable.
Yeah. No, I was just curious because like I feel like it's kind of like a career path you could go on, you know?
Yeah, it's a different fan base. I would have to transition mm-hmm. like my content. I would probably want to make like a different Instagram page. Just start to do more YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Because right now, if I like I do on my personal Instagram, mm-hmm. I do, when I do post a story, it's usually like a PR at the gym. Like when I hit a PR, because I.
What
I
are
hit,
your, P- do you know your PRs?
Oh yeah, I keep track of what that, like they? Everything. So for squat, 405 for 3 is my best. And I don't use a belt or straps for anything.
Yeah, wow.
So that's my best for squat. That's all the way down. Like mm-hmm. I go ass to grass. 405 for 3 on squat, and then deadlift 535 for 1. It's not crazy numbers, but deadlift is my best.
No, that's
at anything.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then for bench, I've done like 315 for 2. So it's not, I'm not crazy strong. Oh, I've done probably my most impressive is 225 for 2 mm-hmm. reps on military press. That's like a good lift for me.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, but I'm not crazy strong, but I really care about like.
You are strong.
I like to be decently strong, but I care a lot about form and like bodybuilding and just the contraction and just mm-hmm. being really decently strong, but also getting a good physique out of it.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people don't understand bodybuilding and powerlifting are very different. Like when you're powerlifting, you're eating not for aesthetics. You're eating for power, being able to be strong. And like most people that are in powerlifting, they're not cutting, bulking. Like they're just eating for strength.
Yeah.
And so, but
yeah, it's definitely different. Yeah.
Yeah. What tips do you have for someone that is trying to get fit and healthy and stuff?
Well, just ask yourself, like, what's your like end goal? Do you have like a specific, like, I want to look like this, or I want to mm-hmm. lose this amount of weight, or do you want to actually like, you know, just, you want to compete, or do you just ask yourself like what your goal is? But to be honest, the best way for you to get fit or get more healthier through a fitness lifestyle is to just enjoy it and find like a routine that you enjoy, mm-hmm. whether it's like you like to run or you like to work out in the gym or you like to do anything physical. To be honest, it's going to help your fitness. It doesn't need to be the gym. So, yeah. And you have to like it, because if you don't like it, you're not going to do it day in and day out. And you need consistency to actually see improvements.
Yeah.
So that's the most important thing.
Hell yeah. What tips would you have for someone that's trying to get into gay porn?
If you're trying to get into gay porn, if you're a really good looking, like muscular guy, if you have the right connections, it's really not that hard. Like, but it just depends on like, you know, your connections is like a really important thing, because, where I live in Canada, we're really close to Montreal, which is like the hub of gay porn. Mm-hmm. And we met a lot of the producers for like the biggest gay porn sites like men.com and stuff. And that
is
helped
that
us.
Where they're based?
Yeah, yeah. They film all their, like a lot of their, that's where they're based, and they film a lot of the stuff there. That's where like their biggest models are from. Mm-hmm. And we got to meet a lot of them. So like we, you know, once you meet them, you can collab with them. And then, but I would just say, if you really want to do something, you'll find a way to do it. And you'll just, you know, my biggest tip is just try to find the right connections and the right people. Once you start actually being able to collaborate with other models, like, then you're going to start gaining traction. But I think that if you have a look that people like, I think that's the main thing, to be honest. Mm-hmm. If you have a look.
No, I think that's true, because I feel like you guys don't really like do a lot of like normal social media posting, in the sense of like you mainly just post your porn. And like if people like you, they like you, versus me as a creator. I post a lot more about like me as a person constantly, and like I feel like they have the girlfriend experience with me, but your fans really are just like, man, they're so fucking hot. I want to see their porn.
Well, yeah, that's true. But then at the same time.
Oh, you do stream though. Yeah. I guess the streams are really personal.
I was going to say that. Yeah, like the streams, they're really personal. Like people can actually see like mm-hmm. the personality. But also on OnlyFans, like mm-hmm. like I said, I chat with people. And like people, like there's a lot of people that I've chatted with for a long time that have been fans for a while. And they can actually see the type of person I am. Also with Instagram, like if they really like me, they'll mm-hmm. see how into fitness I am, because I'll like I said, like fitness related stuff, mm-hmm. I will post on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. So yeah, no, that I have so many things going through my head right now. I'm like, wow, that's a lot to think about too. It's like I had like 100 thoughts when you said all that. Like, no joke. I was also thinking about too, like how far you've come in this short amount of time. Do you feel like you've become more successful just because you've put in the work? Or do you think it's like based on like the fact that you are so fit and like you've put in that effort into like your look? Because a lot of people, when it comes to porn in general, go for looks.
Well, so like when I said like it's your look that they go mm-hmm. up. To be honest, if you're more of like a top in the gay mm-hmm. porn, that's when the looks are important.
Yeah.
A lot more like the body and stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, if you're a bottom, you can be more, you know, you don't have to be huge or anything. But
yeah,
for gay porn, it's like really superficial. But sorry, wait, what was the question again? Because like, I was going to relate it to that. Sorry.
Like basically, like, do you think it attributed to your success? Oh,
yeah. So what I was going to say was like at first we were just doing the straight stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was actually me that said like, after I started to do the solo streams, I realized these actually do pretty well. And then after that, I realized my potential. And then I said, okay, like I'll go out of my way to go do collabs with different people by myself, like with other guys. And then that's how I kind of realized like this is good. People, I could do well in this. And and it's fun. You meet really cool people. Guys are really chill to work with.
Like, I know, I've got to see them this trip. It's been kind of cool like watching how you and Rowan like run the productions you guys do, and then like meeting the people you guys work with and seeing like the positive interactions and how you communicate your boundaries. That's been really cool to see. It's been fun because I've never like been on a set where they're shooting gay porn, and like that to me has been really fun. And also like just the boundary thing is really important to me, and it's been fun like seeing how you guys express that, because when I'm on set as a female, like people literally ask me, what are your hard no's, versus you just bluntly say them.
Yeah. Like, well, when we meet up,
you're
like
straight
chill. And like most of the, like no one's ever going to judge. Like mm-hmm. most guys are really chill that we've worked with. Everyone's cool with the, I usually just tell them like what I'm cool with, like doing. Mm-hmm. And then, for gay porn, like there's certain things that are common. And then like, depending on the type mm-hmm. of model that you are and the type of content that you do, there's maybe like more stuff that like, there's never, I never really have to say like, don't slap me or anything. Like, yeah. I never really have to say that. It's usually like, just don't, I don't do fucking and I don't do bottoming, pretty much.
So you guys, now you guys get to hear kind of what he does. But you guys need to go and look him up. Go look up Creamy Bros too. Where can they find you? Like, what are the best places?
So if you do at Creamy Gorilla on Twitter, that's my Twitter handle. At Matt Luscious on Instagram. And then my OnlyFans is onlyfans.com/CreamyGorilla. And then you can also find our updates for our website on at Creamy Bros on Twitter. So yes. Those are the best places to find us.
And they literally have like really awesome content. It's been fun to see their high quality and like who they're working with and stuff and how nice everyone is. But I'm so glad I got to have you on the podcast. Just remember, you guys, the links will be down below in the description. And you're always somebody's type. Have a great day, great night, and great week. Sydney out.